Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today in the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the Christian concept of resurrection as the middle phase in the hero's journey and human development. Listen as we explain the three phases to apotheosis, which is the process of the human discovering divinity within. In this show, we will review the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension and compare it to the separation, journey, and return as the process experienced in consciousness. Resurrection is only the midpoint, so don't stop here. Keep going until the ascension. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul. Become alive. So Swami, I see the title of today's show is Aftermath, He Has Risen. What is it that you would like our listeners to learn from that title?
Yeah, well, we want to start to take a lot of this information from things we read about to the experiential level. What does it look like when I have risen? What does it look like when the truth of my being is revealed to me from within? And so we have all of this information, and most of it is in code because it's all metaphor. It's symbolic. The hero's journey, which is something we've been talking about since the inception of Kriya Yoga, is a real experience. More and more as we start to explore other disciplines and other ways that this has been introduced to humanity, we start to see the similarity, that there is commonality to the hero's journey, which took place in three phases. It was the separation, the journey, and the return. And in studying Christian Science, I'm seeing that Mary Baker Eddy has something similar in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures on page 115 and 116. She talked about scientific translation of immortal mind, the scientific translation of mortal mind. And then she talked about 3 degrees in this process. And of course, in Kriya Yoga, we've always talked about the process unfolds in 3 phases, and we compared it to the metamorphosis of a butterfly. Butterflies aren't born butterflies, they're born caterpillars. Caterpillars are insects in the larvae state. They do nothing but indulge. And pretty much the human in the larvae state, we're in a state of unconscious awareness. And that's what we do. We live out from the instincts and appetites of our physical appearance, our physical body. But if we stay in that, we have that potential. We can chronologically age and psychologically, spiritually remain in this underdeveloped state. But without leadership, without initiation, without points of passage, rites of passage, we're surviving. We're chronologically aging, psychologically, spiritually remaining in an underdeveloped state. And so we really want to try and get this information across so people can understand. If I want to grow psychologically and spiritually, if I want to become this human in the adult state, there are things I might have to employ. Just by thinking, breathing, eating, sleeping, fornicating, we survive, but we don't grow. And so this is what we really want to start to introduce, the things that we can do that will induce this developmental process.
All right, well, let's talk more about this comparison you've been talking about. Let's compare this hero's journey, the Christian concepts, and the Kriya Yoga that you just talked about. So we're talking about the 3 phases. In the Christian concept, we're looking at the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. Let's compare that to the hero's journey, each of those steps, as well as even the Kriya Yoga, if we could do that.
Yeah, I think one of the important things to understand is that it begins with the crucifixion of the body. The Bible tells us that we must put off the old man. And right from the get-go, you can see how we're approaching our lives. We're actually trying to preserve the body. We're trying to enhance the human experience, and we're trying to protect it. Whereas the Bible is saying, crucify the body. We have to graduate, just like the caterpillar doesn't remain a caterpillar. A caterpillar goes into a chrysalis. And in the chrysalis, the caterpillar shuts off the instincts and appetites of the body. And if my choices were caterpillar or chrysalis, I would choose caterpillar every time. But remember, from that chrysalis, the caterpillar emerges as a butterfly. And so there's a reason for the crucifixion of the body. And an interesting thing about this crucifixion is that Jesus is crucified on a hill between two thieves. And the symbolism coincides with Kriya Yoga almost exactly, because the hill, what we're talking about here in Kriya Yoga is this crucifixion really takes place at Ajna Chakra. The hill is an elevated sense of awareness. And so Ajna Chakra is the highest chakra that we can find that still has three terminals. And it's the gateway to Sahasrara Chakra, which is the crown center, which has only one nadi that leads to it. And the resurrection is the phase that follows the crucifixion. As we see it, the crucifixion of the body must take place at the third eye center, which means that you have had to have risen in consciousness from Muladhara Chakra, the root center, to the third eye center. And there's a lot of preparatory work that we talk about that must be in place before we're even ready for this crucifixion of the body. An important thing about that is that it takes place between the two thieves. In Kriya Yoga, that's Ida and Pingala. Now, Ida Nadi begins at the third eye center, and then the path of prana is downward, and it touches upon the feminine terminal of your lower six energy centers. And it represents everything that is visible and tangible, basically, in our experiences. Pingala Nadi, which terminates at the third eye center, the masculine side, touches upon the masculine terminal of your lower six energy centers, and it represents what we call mind. And this mental material universe that we're talking about here is the veil. It's what prevents us from seeing the true, the divine creation. And so this crucifixion of the body takes place between the two thieves, that in order for us to really be prepared for the resurrection, we have to completely come out of our belief in matter and mortal mind.
Can we talk more about the comparison now with the Mary Baker Eddy's A Scientific Translation of Immortal Mind with this crucifixion?
Yeah, I'll read what she wrote on page 115, 12 to 27. That she started out with scientific translation of immortal mind, which is God, divine principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind. Then man, God's spiritual idea, individual, perfect, eternal, an idea, an image in mind, the immediate object of understanding. And that was from Webster. And then she goes into the scientific translation of mortal mind. The first degree is depravity, physical, evil beliefs, passions, and appetites, fear, depraved will, self-justification, pride, envy, deceit, hatred, revenge, sin, sickness, death, disease. The second degree is evil beliefs disappearing. Moral, humanity, honesty, affection, compassion, hope, faith, meekness, temperance. And then the third degree is understanding. Spiritual wisdom, purity, spiritual understanding, spiritual power, love, health, holiness. She continues, in the third degree, mortal mind disappears and man as God's image appears. Science so reverses the evidence before the corporeal human senses as to make this scriptural testimony true in our hearts. The last shall be first and the first last, so that God and his idea may be to us what divinity really is and must of necessity be all-inclusive. All right, that's the end of what she says about this and what we have been saying about it. This process takes place in three phases. Now, one of the things that we're learning is we don't start with matter and then transform it into spirit, because that's not possible. The reason is because spirit is the only reality. Matter is unreal. Matter is just a thought about this spiritual divine creation that is right here, right now, and perfect. So it isn't a manufacturing that we do. It's really an unveiling. It's a revealing of how things really are. The divine creation is the only thing that is true.
If we talk now about the resurrection is going to be a symbolism for, in the hero's journey, it was...
That would be the journey. See, the hero's journey is the separation, which would correspond with the crucifixion. The journey is the resurrection. And then in the hero's journey, we have the return, which would be associated with the ascension. In Kriya Yoga, would be going from unconscious awareness to self-conscious awareness to superconscious awareness. We've got caterpillar, chrysalis, butterfly.
Well, let's talk more about the symbolism of resurrection.
Yeah, the resurrection is the rebirth into the new identity, which is purely spiritual. And it marks a period of adjustment, learning to fly or to think differently. Preparation for the final phase, which is the ascension or the reunion with the Father. The most important thing is you can't have the resurrection without the crucifixion. And if the crucifixion is not complete, and that's one of the reasons why the symbolism here of Jesus being crucified between the two thieves, we really have to come out of Ida and Pingala. Matter and mind. We have to resolve that. We must understand the unreality of what is appearing in our corporeal senses.
You had mentioned the phrase, think differently. How would we apply that in our daily lives? What does that look like?
Yeah, well, what we're basically doing is we're coming out of just living out from the testimony of our corporeal senses. These modes of mortal thinking. Our mortal mind is an interesting thing because we look at it as if it is my mind, but mortal mind is world mind, individualized and internalized and experienced as my mind, a personal mind, but in truth, it isn't real. It is a false sense of what Mary Baker Eddy pointed out was where there's God, man, idea. Divine mind is the only self-existent power. It's the only thing that's real in this universe. Everything else gets its appearance from belief, that we believe that we have a finite mortal mind. We believe there is a material universe out there. But in truth, that's just our thought about it. We don't live on this earth. We live in our consciousness.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So before we start talking about the third stage, the ascension, I want to talk a little bit more about resurrection and how do we know that we have been resurrected?
Yeah, it's like I was saying, first you have to make sure that you've crucified, you've come out of the belief in matter, that you've come out of the belief in a mortal mind. I really like what Mary Baker Eddy says, but thought loosened from a material basis, but not yet instructed by science, may become wild with freedom and so be self-contradictory. She said that in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures on page 552. Another thing that we really want to look at is, does what I'm doing prove out? You start to understand the mental material universe contradicts itself because we're in this thought loop. If we're still working with this mortal mind, which is individualized from world mind, and then it's disguised as my mind on a personal level, we really can't ever figure out how things are working because you're trying to do with it with the mind that can't bring forth the divine image. This is why the crucifixion of the mind-body complex is essential. The Bible says, put off the old man. And I think what a lot of us do is we're in the trap that we think we can do this with our finite mortal mind. And we have to get out of the mind that is attached to and individuated by the world mind. This is one of the reasons why we say in yoga, purify, purify, purify. We have to purify ourselves of these seven veils that we talk about: time, space, concept, belief, thinking with this mortal mind. We have to come out of human will and personal sense. To be at this point of resurrection, we have to understand I am an eternal spiritual being. Whatever God didn't make isn't made. And whatever God made is perfect and eternal and unchanging. Now, when you start to use that and living out from the divine idea, starting with the perfection of being, that's an important thing that we didn't do from the onset. We were starting out with matter and trying to convert it into spirit. And you can't do that. That's one of the reasons why what I just read is so important. Thought loosened from a material basis, but not yet instructed by science, may become wild with freedom and so self-contradictory. If you don't start with the divine idea, if you don't understand the divine creation, that it's spiritual and it's perfect, and you start out with the body, which is one of the biggest mistakes I find in the yoga community today. People believe that they are a physical body and that there is a second life. And we can't ascend into the understanding of oneness with a belief of the many. And so this crucifixion of the body, we have to let go of all of these human concepts, theories, and beliefs. We have to purify ourselves, not only physically. Physically, you have to prepare your body to receive this concept of spirit. That if we're preoccupied with our corporeal senses, and we are attracted to things that are visible and tangible to corporeal sense, we won't have attention for this invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence. And then as you start to purify your physical body, you also have to purge your mind. We have to get rid of all of these concepts, theories, and beliefs that we've been socialized with that don't enable us to let go of these material moorings. So we will never ascend. We won't resurrect. Because you have to crucify the body. You have to get rid of all of the unnecessary baggage that we're carrying with us.
It seems to me the world that we are living in, we think is real, and the other one is time. And as you've said before, the physical world is just the mental image. That's a big hurdle for a lot of us to get over.
Right. As we start to work with that, like you said, the physical world is a mental image, but the more divinely mental the image, the more harmonious and indestructible it appears. The instruction you get from Mary Baker Eddy in Science and Health, and this is on page 167. We apprehend life in divine science only as we live above corporeal sense and correct it. All right, so resurrection in life, as it emerges from what's called the right side of the boat in John 21:6, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Now we detach from the corporeal senses and we attach to spiritual senses. Our spiritual senses are too pure to behold iniquity. This physical world is a divided consciousness. It is a reflection of the spiritual truth of being. It's not real. And if we are attached to it, then we're going to find we're not able to do what, say, for example, like Mary Baker Eddy says, live above corporeal sense and correct it. You can't make a silk purse from a sow's ear. If we are attached to what is visible and tangible, or even what is invisible but tangible, matter or mind, then we are not going to have the equipment to be able to bring forth this divine image. The divine creation is perfect. And what we're doing is we're strengthening the veil, the barrier for us to perceive the way things really are.
I'd like to go back just for a second and look at that quote again from Mary Baker Eddy. The beginning says, we apprehend life in divine science, but life as she has written it is with a capital L. Now that's another word for God, is it not?
Right. And I really like what it says in the Bible. Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Christ is the saving aspect of truth. Christ is what makes the divine creation, the truth of being, intelligible to human consciousness. Because we're living out from our corporeal senses, we're not going to be able to bring forth this divine image. And so we have to come out of that mind. That mortal mind, which is being individualized from world mind, and we have to think differently. Divine mind, or Christ is individual mind individuated from divine mind, and it thinks in a completely different medium. Mortal mind thinks in duality. It sees the divided consciousness. But divine mind thinks in terms of the absolute. It sees the whole. It only sees the one divine life, which is perfect. It's complete. It's whole.
So I want to talk a little bit about preparation for the ascension. We know that phrase in the Bible, thy will be done, not my will, but thy will. So if we go about this mentally and say, well, it's my will, I want to go through these three steps, that's already the barrier, right? Because we can't do it with our will. How do you suggest that we actually go about this? Is it something that we wait for this divine order to take place? How does it look like when we should proceed?
Well, the first thing that we have to do is you have to understand the letter, the process, what it is that I am supposed to do. And if you understand to the degree that you are supposed to do it, we are really trying to let go of our corporeal senses. We're trying to let go of the mind that only brings forth the mental material universe that isn't the creation of God. And so once we come out of that mind, and then we have a little bit of understanding of, well, what's that going to look like when I'm doing it? Preparation for the ascension is the journey, testing your spiritual senses. But in order for you to be there, you had to have gone through the crucifixion. Like we said, I mean, how do I know I've resurrected? And if I'm not at that point where I am living above corporeal sense and I am correcting it, then I am demonstrating my new consciousness. Consciousness is experience. If you are conscious of the divine creation, then of course your experiences must be inundated with divine qualities. You're looking for peace, love, joy. These are things that would represent a consciousness that is attuned to the divine idea. But if you're looking at good and bad, right and wrong, light and dark, you're still living out from the world mind. You're still living in that divided consciousness, and you really have to go back. But if you have crucified the body and you are now starting to test your spiritual senses and getting familiar with this new sense of self. Because I really like what it says in the Bible, John 20:17. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. So Jesus has resurrected, but he hasn't yet ascended. And so there's this period of familiarity that you're working with spiritual sense now, starting to understand the difference between my will and thy will. Now, of course, Jesus, he was in a completely different level of consciousness than most of us will find ourselves starting out with this.
Storm, is there anything else with the subject matter you think should be important for us to learn?
Well, like we're learning is that it's not as simple as it might sound, but if you can start with the divine idea, knowing that life is perfect, there is only one life. The concept of one God really means one being. And no matter where you're looking or what you're looking at, not person, place, or thing, but you're looking at this one divine life appearing as whatever it is that is reporting in your corporeal senses until your corporeal senses are starting to show these divine qualities.
Well, we're going to start breaking down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. On the homepage, when you see the fading banner, Blog Talk Radio, just click that. That directs you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. And then don't forget clicking on the products tab, then online classes directs you to all the classes that Swami has available for you. So with that, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and become alive. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.